Our first session this afternoon will be our dear friend from Atlanta, Georgia. Some people sent me messages. I didn't know it was him. I listened to him on social media. I said, you didn't see when I put out his image that suddenly, and I was saying, all right. David Dale Bruner is a bishop, church planter, author, conference speaker, and leadership trainer. He's the founder and senior pastor of the Word of Faith Family Worship Cathedral. He was consecrated as a bishop by the International Communion of Charismatic Churches. He resides in Atlanta, Georgia, with his wife, Nina, and a father of five. Sorry, and if I thought it was a father of five and grandfather of nine. Let us welcome to the rostrum Bishop Dale Bruner.
You may be seated. I've had a little update since that intro was written. Instead of nine grandchildren, we just gave birth to grandchild number 20. Yes. I had four grandchildren born last year. Four grandchildren born last year. And I told all five of my children, I said, you need to go ahead and have your children while you're young. And I told them, I said, you notice that both of your grandmothers are still alive? Because my wife's mother is 91, my mother is 92, alive and well. She is my chief intercessor. And so I said, both of the grandfathers are dead. And I said, every year that you delay having your children is a year that you rob them of time with their grandfather. And so I get to enjoy 20 grandchildren. And I have dinner with all of them every single week. And so I'm a blessed man. And so what a gift. Wow. All of that begins with finding the right mate. Here's what I noticed, that he that findeth a wife finds a good thing. Actually, parenthetically, in the Old Testament where that verse is written, it's not merely he that findeth a wife, it's he that finds a good wife, finds a good thing, and obtains favor of the Lord. Something shifts in your life when you find that favor. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to make an acquaintance with the right one that is sent by God to be your mate, a helpmate in the world, because it allows us to be able to reproduce and have the joy, and it brings a favor. You see, before that favor was in my life, it was just me. And the moment that my wife, my favor, my good thing came into my life, then we start. You know, we had one child, and then we had two children, and then pregnancy number three were identical twins. And so that brought us to four, and then they had to finally go until they could produce a son, and that was child number five. So I've got five, and I'm blessed of God. I have five children and 20 grandchildren, and what a gift. Now, here's what I discover, is that God's answer to every problem is always a person. And when you think about legacy, legacy is not in brick and mortar, it's not in buildings, it's not in monuments. Our legacy is in the lives of human beings that we touch over the course of our life, and we leave a print in their life. And so I'm just blessed to be able to be here Thank you for having me. I'm indebted to Pastor Poju and his incredible wife. It's a good thing that has brought favor of God into his life and into this ministry. My goodness, what a gift, what an incredible gift of God. And so I'm grateful. I'm so grateful to the Lord. But God's answer to every problem is always a person. Will you lay your hand on your chest and just say, I'm an answer? Because you're either an answer to a problem or you are the problem. And I want you to think with me for just a moment that when there was a problem with the children of Israel being in slavery in Egypt, the Lord did not try to call together an association of attorneys to draft up some kind of emancipation proclamation. He raised up a person, Moses. And when he wanted a king after his own heart, he raised up a person, David. And then when the world was filled with moral profligacy and all kinds of licentiality, he didn't try to get some special ointment in a bottle. He sent his son into the world because God's answer to every problem is always a person. And when he needs churches to be planted, he raises up people because God's answer to every problem is always a person. And I'm grateful that I'm looking today at people who are answers to a problem. And if you'll think about your problems in life, your problems don't come from inanimate objects. Your problem comes from other two-legged human beings. And if you think about it, the greatest nightmares is some relationship that you have that's a problem. The problem is always the wrong person in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. And God's answer is always the right person in the right place at the right time doing the right thing. And so that's why I'm glad today that I am looking at answers today who have been called by God, anointed by God, graced by God, given by God, just an answer given from the heart of God. I want to serve you an appetizer before we get into the main course today. Not that we're going to be here a long time, but there are three basic currencies in life. One of them is time, time. Time is a limited commodity. The older that you get, the less time that you realize that you have. And that's why we ask God to teach us to number our days so that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. Because time is a limited currency. Time is a currency. If you do a crime in America, you have to do the time to pay for the crime. Because time is a currency. Time is a currency. Knowledge is also a currency. It's amazing that the reason that we have to pay doctors and attorneys and accountants is for their knowledge. It's an exchange for their knowledge, not merely the time. One of the ways to be able to add more value to your time is to add more skill and knowledge to who you are, capacitating yourself to be more. And so instead of my working two separate jobs, I add more value to myself so that now I am paid for the knowledge of what I know. And so time is a currency, and then knowledge is a currency. The third currency is money. It is a currency. We exchange that currency for goods. We exchange that currency for services. So these three currencies in life, time, knowledge, and money. Here's the problem. Most of the time, we only have two of the three. You either got time and knowledge and no money, or you got money and knowledge and no time. But whatever it is, whichever one, most people have two of the three. And whichever one you are lacking, use the other two in order to get it. Because I have limited time, and my wife has limited time, then what we will do, we will take our knowledge and our money to be able to employ someone to come in and do something to save us time. So we're using the two that we have in order to get the third thing that we don't have. Does that make sense to you? And every person in this room, every person here, generally has two of the three. And if you've got money and you've got time, but you lack knowledge, now you can go to school. Now you can take a course. Now you can invest in books, in resources, in materials to grow yourself and add more value to you. And all you have to do is look and see which two do I have and what am I lacking, and use the two that you have in order to get the third one that you're lacking. And then there are people that have time and money, that they'll go to school, but then there's some people that have knowledge and they've got time, but they need money. And if you've got time, that means that you can master something. If you've got knowledge, that's the ability now to know something so you can do something, to produce something, because we were designed to be producers and not merely consumers. Everybody is designed to produce something. You haven't found your purpose if you haven't found something that you produce in adding value to the world. You are a gift into the world. And so these three currencies, time, knowledge, and money. But now, can I give you a bonus fourth one today? Here's number four. This one trumps all of the other three, because it jumps us over into the realm of the Spirit of God. It's called faith. Faith is the fourth currency. And listen, whenever you have faith, you can walk with faith in your heart. And somehow, the faith of God can empower you supernaturally to be able to get more done in less time. And then there are issues, that thing that you may not know. You know, there are nine gifts of the Spirit, and one of those is called the gift of a word of knowledge. And there are some things that God will supernaturally reveal to you. There are some things that God will reveal to you in a dream supernaturally. You didn't have time to go to school to try to figure it out. You didn't know what to do. And sometimes you pray at nighttime, and in the morning when you wake up, you just have a knowing of knowing what to do. And you may not know at what hour in the night that God supernaturally imposed the knowledge. And I pray in the name of Jesus that something supernatural will happen while you're here getting capacitated. That God will somehow sensitize your spirit and open you to be able to hear the voice of God in an undeniable way. That distinguished voice of God echoing in your spirit and unveiling to you key areas of knowledge. It is when you walk in relationship with God that He can let you know when your spouse needs attention, when one of your children needs attention, when there is an employee in this particular area, some area of your life that is in danger supernaturally. This has nothing to do with anything that you study from a university, but supernaturally, there's a knowledge of God letting you know sometimes when there's a problem going on in your body and you need to drink more water or exercise or stop eating this or that. And no doctor told you, but Dr. Jesus, supernaturally by the power of faith. And I'm just here to tell you that somehow that God has this divine ability to be able to compress time and allow you to get more done in less time because you stepped into a realm of faith, and you'll be able to run faster than anybody else. And though you started and you didn't have all of the underpinnings that everybody else has, you didn't have the endowment that they have, but somehow by faith, God gave you supernatural time compression. And He gave you supernatural knowledge to be able to know what to do. And I see that God is going to raise up once again here in Africa sons of Issachar, the children of Issachar, who have a spirit of wisdom and discernment, that they will know what Israel, a type of the church, ought to do, and that they'll be able to see, and they'll have this uncanny wisdom to be able to know this is a dimension of faith that God will just put in you. You'll know what you need to do for the moment, for the season that you're in. It's an uncanny wisdom that God will drop into you supernaturally by faith. By faith, you'll be able to get more done in less time. There are some times I'm telling you that when once you have prayed sufficiently, that God will open something up that might have taken you hours to complete, and you'll be able to lay the outline out for it in 5 minutes. That's the power of faith. It is a dimension that will cause time to be compressed. There are things that God will reveal to you that you will never get by reading a book, that you would never get by going to the university. There is a knowledge of God, a spirit of knowing, a spirit of the children of Issachar, where there was a wisdom and a discernment of the signs of the time, so that you will know what to do at the right time. And then by faith, it's amazing. I told you the third currency is money. Sometimes faith can supernaturally open doors to call seeds that you have planted. Listen, if you planted no seeds, you can expect no harvest. And it's amazing that God never sends rain in a place where there is no seed in the ground. Do you know where the largest desert is? It's not in Africa. It is Antarctica. A desert is defined not by heat. A desert is defined by a lack of rain. That's what defines a desert. But there are times that when you're operating in this fourth dimension, that God will open up the finances. All that you need is faith to get started. God will give you finishing faith and finishing grace when it's time to finish. I don't know who I'm talking to in this place today, but there are some things that you'll start by faith because God put it in you, and you don't have all of the resources when you get the project started, when you launch out into the endeavor. But when you listen to the voice of God, somehow the spirit and the gift of faith can rise up on the inside of you, and there is a tenacious courage that will arise in your soul, and you'll know that surely God is able, and God will give you finishing grace when it's time to finish. All you need is faith to start. Faith to just start walking. We walk by faith. If you start walking, if you don't know anything else to do, just bust a move. Just start moving in the direction of His call. Follow His voice. Even when you don't know anything else, just walk toward the voice, because He will lead us by His voice. He said, "My sheep know My voice, and a stranger they will not follow." And so He's just calling us to just follow Him by the leading of His voice, and God will lead you. And I'm telling you that God will lead you into places. And let me tell you this. A few years ago, we had a craze that went through America, and people were saying, "Money cometh, money cometh." And one day I heard the Spirit of God say to me crystal clearly, "Money does not come. Money waits for you in a place called obedience. If you will do what God has told you to do, the money will come." Money doesn't come. Money waits for you in a place called obedience. Money waits for you in a place called obedience. There's something that God is waiting on us to do. And when we release our faith through the demonstration of an action, I cannot stand and pray that, "God, it won't rain today," and then not walk out of the house with my umbrella. If I pray for rain, I show what I'm waiting on by showing what I'm working on. And if I'll do that by faith, I'm telling you, resources I'm just seeing that God is bringing resources to Africa to make up for some lost time. You're getting back pay. You're getting back pay this time, because resources of Africa have been exploited by nations from around the world. But it's your time now. I know that God is raising you up to a place that only God himself can do. And when God places you there, there is no devil in hell that has the capacity to be able to stop the blessing of God. Even sorcerers and witches and the powers of darkness and sorcerers cannot curse what God has blessed. And so may you step into the dimension of faith in a dimension that is supernatural. I'm not talking about name it and claim it and blab it and grab it. I'm talking about walking by a revelation, moved by the Spirit of God, and watching God supernaturally in your life, in your business, in your educational pursuits, in your family, in your marriage. Watch the living God. God wants to meet you right where you are, right where you live. And I'm just telling you, this is the time. This is the time. This is the time. Now is the place, and you are the people. That was just the appetizer. Let's see if we can dig a little bit into the main course, and we'll abbreviate it. But in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3, you'll notice the word of the Lord says this in the New King James Version. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country and from your family and your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And in you, all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. And this is why the Bible says in Psalm 78 that God takes the single person and sets them in families. Because you got to be in a family to partake of the blessing of Abraham. In you shall all of the families of the earth be blessed. God's blessing comes on families. It comes on family. God unapologetically involves himself in nepotism. He moves in families. He moves in families unapologetically. Here is Abraham at 75 years old. 75. And he's catching a vision from God. My own father at 75 years old caught a vision from God. God showed him a piece of property in a state adjacent to our state, over in the state of Alabama. And he bought a motel and a resort with the natural hot mineral springs that was on it on 700 acres of land. My daddy had that vision, caught it, and bought it when he was 75 years old. Is anything too hard for God? He started at 75. Let me just tell you, I'm telling you, you're going to get your second wind. You're about to get a second wind. My daddy was 50 years old when I was born. I'm part of the second wind. He didn't stop with me. He had my younger brother when he was 55. And he had my baby brother when he was 60. What's your excuse? Let me just tell you that God is about to open people who thought that things were too late for you, that your time was past. All that I can tell you is that God will roll back the time to be able to give you time. He will add years unto you. Length of, he'll add long life. He's gonna add life to your years and years to your life. Yes. My God, I feel something in this place today. I really do. It's catching time. Would you, somebody shout the word catch. My God, when you just catch something. Abraham caught a vision. He caught a vision. Nothing happens until you catch something. Until my wife caught a seed from me. We didn't have any children. She caught something. My God, you got to catch something. I hope you got your mittens open to be able to catch something, because there are divine ideas that God will just drop down from heaven. And if you're open, he's always looking for somebody that's open. He's not going to get the ball. He's not going to move certain things into your hands unless you're open. You got to be open. You got to be open. And you know, Jesus didn't speak English. The language that he spoke was called Aramaic. There is a word in the Aramaic language that is called slotha. It means prayer. And it comes from the verb in the Arabic slah, S-L-A-H, which means to pray. But here's what it really means. If we translated it out in all of the full nuances of its meaning, slah, to pray, it actually means a trap. A trap. And so slotha, the noun part, prayer, here's what it, if I were to translate it out, here's what it actually comes out to say. It means to set your mind like a trap and wait patiently to catch the thoughts of God. You have to take your watch off when you get in God's presence. And you have to wait on him. And if you will set your mind like a trap and wait patiently to catch the thoughts of God, I'm just telling you, all that you need is one thought from God. Just one. Just one. Just one thought from God. One divine thought from God can change your life. Can take a man from living like a slave to living like a king by one God thought. One thought. Just one God idea. I talked to my friend Rick Warren in America that wrote the book, The Purpose-Driven Life. And I said, Rick, why didn't you write other books? He said, God only gave me one. And that one book, let me just tell you, the only other book that has outsold his book is the Bible. He sold over 700 million copies. And he took me to the place where he would go and sit when he had me there to minister for him. And he took, it was like a little back porch, a little really common place. And he's such a common man with an uncommon God. But every day he would sit and set his mind like a trap and wait patiently to catch the thoughts of God. And if you would turn off your notifications on your digital distractions, you'd get up early in the morning or stay up late at night when your distractions are at a minimum. And if you'll ever get in his presence, I'm just telling you, and I'm telling you, I mean, for me early in the morning, I just find the fruit is just hanging low to the ground. And you'll be able to pick it up. And if we would just learn to wait on him and catch, I'm just telling you, God's got some ripe things that are waiting to fall right into you. You don't even labor for it. You enter into his rest. You enter into his rest. There's a rest of God. It's a sweatless operation. It's sort of like fishing. It's a little bit of something and a whole lot of nothing. But you got to drop your line down in the water and set your mind like a trap. And when you do that, God knows people that are sitting in his presence, waiting on him, that will worship him, that will give him glory, that will say, Lord, if you can do anything through me, God, use me for your glory. For your glory, Lord. I'm hungry for you. And I'm just telling you, there's some music that God wants to birth in you and through you. There are books that God wants to birth through you. There are ideas, there are patterns, there are designs, there's artistic expressions that God is just waiting on you to get into position and set your mind like a trap. He's looking for somebody that's open that can catch it. And this is what God did. He took Abraham out of that. And he said, Abraham, come over here. Come here, Abraham. Get out of your tent. By this time, Abraham is 99 years old. He's been waiting a long time for the promise. He caught it in everything that you catch from God. That's the first word, just catch. Here's the second word, carry. Because if you don't carry what you've caught, it will never mature. You have to incubate a seed. The ground catches it, the womb catches it, and then carries it. A woman is said to carry a baby. I'm carrying this baby. She's taking it through the gestational process. It's the process of time. And it can wear you out. You endure circumstances. You endure afflictions like a good soldier. Endurance is for circumstances and situations. Patience is for people. Patience is for people. You don't have patience on circumstances. You endure circumstances that are difficult. But patience is for dealing with difficult people. It's when you're waiting on a spouse to come back into their right mind. It's when you're waiting for a son or daughter, for a co-worker, for a friend, for a fellow employee. That's what you have to have patience for them to mature. The curse of our world is immaturity. And the hallmark of immaturity is when a person is the center of their own world. Die to yourself so something unique can be born of God in you and through you. You catch it and then you carry it. It makes no difference in a sports game if you catch the ball and stand there with it. You catch it and then carry it. Catch it and then carry it. When people see you, they ought to know. You can tell when a woman has been carrying a seed for a while and she's pregnant. You don't have to ask her whether she's pregnant or not. What are you carrying? What have you caught that you're taking through a gestational period? You've got to catch something. And you got to carry it. And Abraham had to carry this thing because he caught a glimpse of a vision from God. Because he got a word. But he was very similar to Job. In Job chapter 42 and verse 5, where he said, I have heard thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye sees you. My eye sees you now. And I'm just telling you that some of you have been in a season of wondering. The devil has sat on your shoulder and made you doubt whether God is going to be true to what he has prophetically declared to you. Let me just tell you this. A promise from God is a commitment to your future. When God gives you a promise, it is a commitment to your future. Take his word, carry it, catch it, carry it, catch it, carry it, catch it, carry it. Catch it, carry it. You catch it and you carry it. And in that gestational period, you're going to deal with difficult circumstances that you're going to have to endure. There are certain things that you can rebuke and other things that God said, you must go through this. Jesus said he must needs go through Samaria. There are some places that God will lead you because somebody needs the anointing that is in your life. And you won't know until you get there. Because the law of proximity says that you've got to be in a certain proximity of people before your gifts will turn on that are designed to bless their life. So you carry something and you are carrying something that you have caught from God. Abraham caught a vision, caught a word. He just heard God saying that I'm going to make of you a great nation. He had no physical evidence of that. But at 99, God speaks to him and says, step out of your tent, Abram, and I want you to look up into the sky. and see the stars. And he came out and he looked up, and God says, count them, knowing that it would be impossible. Scientists tell us that you can only see approximately 6,000 stars with the naked eye. But there are 10 sextillion stars, scientists estimate, in the heavens, which is twice the number of the grains of dirt on the earth. It's amazing that heaven has twice in the stars as we have grains of sand on the earth. It's the double annunciation of heaven. Moses, Abraham. God speaks in the voice of double annunciation to confirm it. He speaks it from the heaven and confirms it in the earth. He speaks and he confirms. You catch and you carry. You catch, and I pray that over these days of all of this incredible ministry that is prepared for you, you didn't come here to leave the same way you came, in Jesus' name. I pray that your spirits are open, receptive to the Spirit of God, and that you are setting your minds like a trap to catch the thoughts of God. One thought from God can change how you live and how you feel. It's just a thought. Because feelings follow thoughts and feelings follow actions. One thought from God. Catch it. Carry. You catch and you carry. When God told him to come out and to look up at the stars, now he's looking up and trying to count them. But he's not able to do it. And God says, so shall your seed be. So shall your seed be, the way that you see this. But it was the first time that God gave him a visual of what he had been hearing. You don't really have faith until you can already see it. You got to taste it while it's still in the oven. You got to know that it's coming my way. I see it now. Lord, I see what you're saying now. Lord, I see it. You start off hearing it. I've heard it with the hearing of the ears, but now my eyes see it. And this was the first time that Abraham had a visible picture of what God had been saying to him prophetically for 24 years. 9 months after he had that experience, that's when Isaac was born. He gave birth to what he had been carrying, the vision that he had been carrying. He caught it and carried it for 24 years. 99, now he goes out. And I told you that 10 sextillion stars, he said, go look at the stars. I worked for 15 years in accounting. I'm really good with numbers. You know, 1,000 million is called a billion. 1,000 billion is called a trillion. 1,000 trillion is called a quadrillion. 1,000 quadrillion is called a quintillion. And 1,000 quintillion is called a sextillion. 10 sextillion is a 1 followed by 21 zeros. That's a lot of stars. And God takes Abraham out of his tent and says, look up. Count them if you can. So shall your seed be. God gave him a visual. And somehow faith came alive in him when he saw a demonstration. He saw the pictures of one of his grandchildren and great-grandchildren on every star. It locked it in for him. He caught it, and he now is seeing what he's been carrying. This was God giving him the first ultrasound, the first sonogram. God is showing him there what's already locked in his loins. He's already showing him what he had been carrying. And sometimes, if you can just see what you're carrying, if you can just get a picture of what's still in the womb, but the picture is the promise. And you don't have faith until you got the picture. Now you know. Now you see the shape of the head. Now you can see it. And so he now faith arises in him because he's seeing 10 sextillion stars. And he's only trying to believe God for one. And God says, do you see that? I know you, your mind is one. If you'll set your mind like a trap and wait patiently to catch the thoughts of God while you're believing for one book, for one location, for one idea, God had a nation in mind. That's the difference between a thought of a man who just wanted to be the daddy of one. But God's idea, the divine idea that he caught from God, is that I'm not birthing a son through you, I'm birthing a nation. That was the God thought. Have you set your mind like a trap and waited patiently to be able to catch the thoughts of God? And if you'll just give him some time of just saying, Lord, I'm waiting in your presence. I'm not in a hurry. I promise you, it's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. It's worth the wait. And I just believe that God is still speaking to his people. I still believe that God is unveiling things, taking veils off, and showing you things that he has already prepared. When you look through the divine telescope, tele means distance, scopus means to look. You're looking from a distance. And so if you take a telescope and look at the stars, he's showing you what may be 2.3 light years away, which means that is the distance that it will take light to travel. And light travels at a speed of 186,000 miles per second. And traveling at 186,000 miles per second, it will still take it 2.3 years to get there. That's the distance. It's amazing that if you'll just set your mind like a trap and wait patiently to catch the thoughts of God, something supernatural will open up on the inside of you. Catch is the first word. Carry is the second word. And here's the third word. Because what God gives to you and what you birth is not designed to stay with you. The third word is convey. You've got to convey it. You've got to transfer it to some other place. Catch it, carry it, convey it. Catch it, carry it, convey it. So when a woman catches a seed, she carries it for 9 months, then she conveys the baby. There's something that you catch. And I'm just telling you, everything that God blesses you with, he'll ask for it back. From dust thou come and from dust you shall. He's going to ask for it back. Catch it, carry it, convey it. Once God blesses you to be able to do it, you better give him the glory for it. The glory belongs to him. The glory belongs to him. The glory belongs to him. We give him glory when we begin to praise God. We were formed for his glory. We were formed to praise him. And when human beings fail to praise God, and God is moving in your life, if you fail to praise him, guess what happens? It turns into pride. But when you praise him with everything that you've got on the inside of you, it turns into glory. And the glory of God shall fill the earth. It will fill the earth just as the waters cover the sea. So shall the glory of God fill the earth. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming, and God has it for us. And if I didn't come to say anything else to you, I just came to really let you know the secret of my whole life is not being in a hurry, not being fazed by what other people have and what they have done, but to be amazed by the God that loves us enough to think of little old us, to say that I can use you for my glory. And if you'll just wait on me, set your mind, your heart like a trap and wait patiently. Wait patiently to catch the thoughts of God. All you need is one God thought, and it'll change your life forever. God bless you.